Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Alexander Audio, and today my guest is Imogen Ragone, who's an Alexander Technique teacher and web designer who lives in Wilmington, Delaware. We've had previous conversations about how individual teachers can use the web effectively. We've talked about websites, website design, and so forth. We've talked about social media such as Facebook and Twitter. And today we're going to talk about other developments on the web that can be very useful for teachers to utilize once they have a basic website in place. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be here, Robert.
Maybe I should just quickly list the things we're going to talk about, and then we'll take each one in turn. Does that sound good?
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to start with blogs. We're going to talk about video and audio resources. We're going to talk about email marketing and ebooks.
Okay, so, sounds good.
Well, let's start with blogs. You kind of broke into the blog, to the blogosphere a few months ago. What's been your experience, and what would you say to teachers who are contemplating creating a blog?
Well, first of all, I never thought I would be blogging. You know, what do I have to say about anything? But it is, I have been doing some sort of social media training, or if you like to call it that, and it was really suggested that a blog is a highly useful tool to get more recognition, more presence. And I feel like that's what I want to do for me and the Alexander Technique. And so I gave it a go. And I do think it's very useful, blogs, because you're sort of regularly putting out new content. The search engines like it. It's sort of a more personal take on things than just the sort of straight information that you give on your website. And, you know, it's been really interesting. But I didn't just start out with no sort of information about it. I kind of had a plan and built up to it, and, you know.
And I noticed that you began with 3 blogs a week, and I was wondering how long you were going to sustain that. I think you're doing about once a week now.
Yeah,
is that right?
I'm doing once a week. And I would say everything I've learned, blogging regularly is definitely important if you want to use it as a sort of tool to get more recognized, or you know, more presence, more finds on search engines. You know, you can, blogging once a month, once every, you know, 3 months is not going to do you much good from that point of view. I mean, you may produce a very nice piece that's useful, but it won't sort of create that presence in the same way. So as far as, you know, so the advice was, you know, go for 2 or 3 times a week to start off with. And, you know, I thought I could do that. that was just a bit much for me. And, but I am really aiming to stick with once a week as sort of my minimum target.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we should, for people listening who are not really familiar with Alexander blogs, for the most part, the individual entries are fairly short.
Well,
a few paragraphs, sometimes just a paragraph or so. It can be very short.
Well, and I think that's actually really important, and that it is important to keep it short. And if you do have something longer to say, you can split it and make a sort of blog series, and you know, that helps you produce more blogs, but it's also kind of keeps it in sort of more bite-sized pieces that people can, you know, follow. And hopefully if they like what you're saying, it means that then they want to get your next blog to see what the sort of next piece of that series is. And so as far as length, you know, unless you're, and of course we've all got maybe slightly different target audiences, but I would have thought for most teachers who are going into blogging, it is going to be for people who, for the general public. I mean, that's my goal, that it's for people who really don't know anything about Alexander technique. And I think it should be short and to the point. If by any chance you're writing a much more academic blog, then obviously there's slightly different, you know, things.
Right. Yeah. But we're having this conversation in early 2012, and I would say just in the last 2 or 3 months, there's been a huge increase in the number of quality blogs out there. Mm-hmm. I make a point of posting the ones that seem particularly good on my Facebook page, and it used to be I did one a day, and sometimes I had to scrounge a little bit to find something to put mm-hmm. there. And now I'm doing 3 a day, and I could be doing 5 or 6 a day and keep up with it and still have trouble keeping up mm-hmm. with the really good ones. And that, I think, is a very interesting development, because those blogs get funneled through Facebook and Twitter and all the social media that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So I would say that if you're an Alexander teacher, and assuming you've got a website, obviously, take a look at some of the Alexander Technique blogs. And I think you'll see how, in a sense, how short they can be. I guess the other thing I would say is that it really helps to have an image of some kind on a blog. And you are the master of finding these
I find
images.
Good images. I think it is, because, and especially if, you know, that would definitely be a tip I would give if you're blogging, that when you've written your blog and you've published it, that you immediately then go and post a link to it on Facebook, mm-hmm. on your Facebook page, if you have a page, mm-hmm. on Twitter, and, you know, possibly even LinkedIn and Google Plus, mm-hmm. you know, however far you're going with the social media thing. But anywhere you are, you want to post that information. And if you've got a picture, I hate to say it, but that attracts more, you know, more people, you know, if you've got something, you know, especially, I mean, Twitter not, but on Facebook and the other ones, is, you know, they're visual, and it's really, you know, useful to have that image.
I mean, when I try to decide what I'm going to post on my Facebook page, I give preference to blogs with images, because mm-hmm. they just draw more people. They just do. Mm-hmm.
Wanted to say, almost to back up a little bit on the sort of purpose of the blog, and I really would encourage you to see it. This is not a way to sell your practice. This is a way to give sort of information, to be educational. And that indirectly could mm-hmm. lead people to call you, you know, or contact you. But right. that's not the purpose of it. And I think it's very sort of important to keep that in mind. That it helps everyone, that the more of us that are on the web in various ways, including blogging, that's just more presence for the Alexander technique in general. So I view that as sort of my goal, to be putting out information about the Alexander technique, and, you know, people are learning something about me as well, you know.
Exactly. And it can be a resource for your own students, who mm-hmm. can then perhaps share them with their friends. One thing I would say is, if you are getting into blogging, make sure that it's not too difficult for a visitor to your blog to find your website.
Yes, that is absolutely key. And I've seen a few
yes.
very nice blogs by some Alexander teachers, and there's no link back to a website or an about who is writing it. There should be, even mm-hmm. if your blog site is not your website, there should be maybe that one other page that is about you, the author. I think
Definitely.
people want to know who this is that is writing, and you need to put a link back to your main website so people can, and of course I would put all your contact information on your blog, but of course
Yeah.
your website would have even more information on your lessons, et cetera, so
Right.
yeah.
And I think your page that has your blog where it's hosted is very much integrated. Your particular one is very integrated with the other kind of things that we'll be talking about. Your email list, definitely easy to.
I think, and that's, we'll probably come to the email list later, but I've actually begin I had that on my main website for ages, and admittedly it wasn't such an inviting way, but I invited people just to subscribe to my e-newsletter, and I think I only ever had one subscribe from that. Since I've been blogging, I've had quite a few. The people who were getting on my list before because they signed up, through classes or workshops, so they were actually people I'd met.
Right. Yeah.
So that's sort of been an interesting development. So I guess if you're producing a blog which has interesting information, then people are more likely to then want other information from you.
Exactly. And it's part of, I think it's just the general scene on the web. It's a highly interconnected system, and everything, all of these things can be very synergistic with each other. Just, your website will benefit from your blog, your blog page will benefit from your website, video, everything interconnects. So I think we've kind of covered
We
blogs.
have, but there's a related topic to blogs that I did want to mention, and that is commenting on blogs,
On other people's blogs.
on other people's blogs.
Yes.
And may have no interest in blogging whatsoever. However, if you read a blog that's maybe it's a blog by another Alexander Technique teacher, maybe it's not, but you might have some relevant point to make that maybe would relate to Alexander. Leave a comment. That's what bloggers want, and it helps the visibility in search engines and everything. But also key to that is when you fill out the little form, I guess, to leave your comment, it always asks you for your website. Put that in, and that means your name on that comment will be linked directly to your website.
Exactly.
And so if what you say on that blog is interesting, people could click that and they will get your whole, and I think if you are blogging, even more important, maybe put your link to your blog site, because I think bloggers would be, if you're commenting on theirs, they maybe would check yours out and be more likely to comment back on yours, and
You want to make it very easy for the interconnectedness of the web to manifest
And
for you.
I would suggest if you do have a blog and you want to encourage commenting, you could even inv I've maybe it's a little bit forced, but I always sort of invite it at the end of my blogs to show that I actually want that. And I do make sure, certainly at the moment, I've only been blogging a couple of months, that I am responding at least in some little way to each comment, so that people don't just leave it and then don't know whether you wanted it or not,
Right,
or
right,
or
right.
certainly if someone asks a question, absolutely respond. I mean, I think maybe eventually I won't need to respond to every single comment, but I think you should still always respond to some.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's move on to video and audio. Just as there's been kind of an explosion in blogs, Alexander blogs, good ones, there has also been an explosion in good, reasonably well-produced Alexander videos on YouTube. Just this morning, a whole bunch more. I mean, it's like every day, there's some more good ones out there, and some of them are amazingly good. The ones that are really good tend to be short, very focused, reasonably
decent.
Short
is the theme here.
Short is definitely the theme on the web, and reasonable production value. What you have seen in the past is lots of videos that were made at workshops or groups where it seems like the video was kind of an afterthought. Someone just put a camera there and filmed it. And a lot of those are just excruciatingly awful. The audio's bad, they're boring, and they are, I think.
And they may not be useful for someone who does. If you maybe were at the workshop and it's sort of helping jog your memory about what happened, but yeah.
they are useless, and I would say in a few cases worse than useless. Mm. But there, as I say, more recently there have been some amazing short videos on YouTube, and I think it's worth bearing in mind that YouTube, which of course is owned by Google, is from what I've read, the biggest search engine now.
I thought it was more that it was second, but second to Google itself.
Yeah, it's a major source of people getting information.
Videos
along with audio as well are particularly adaptable to handheld devices, which are becoming an increasingly large portion of internet searches as well. So they are really a perfect medium, and I would say if you have some facility with video, or you have a student who knows something about video and you're up for producing a short video about your teaching or something on a particular Alexander topic, I would take advantage of that.
And you know, I may be at some point getting into video myself, but I do think it's not so hard to produce it yourself now. There are little cameras that you can just do it and it'll upload it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all sort of built in. I haven't investigated it fully, but it can be useful. So there's two ways you could think about what a video could be. It could be you just talking and letting people know some things about, you know, the Alexander technique or you or whatever, or it could be sort of demonstrating something and maybe working with a student or whatever. Mm-hmm. Certainly the you just talking, it probably needs very little in terms of, you know, production skills, you know?
Right. So and they would make a great addition to your website, especially if it's short and succinct.
Absolutely.
It's a way of introducing potential clients to you in a way that's kind of unmatched by any other medium.
Yeah, people want to get to know you, and what is better than being able to actually see you and hear you talk and watch you move, you know? As far as the length, you mentioned shorter the better. I have here under 5 minutes for sure. 2 to 3 minutes is probably better, and even shorter if you can. I would like to give a shout out to Judy Stern.
Judy Stern.
Fabulous. Yes. 47 second video introducing the Alexander technique. It was
perfect.
Really great.
And she's the one who we've just seen, I think, 6 new videos by her in the last couple of days. And they're all under 3 minutes, I believe. And they are very succinct. Very short and to the point, and they are all incredibly useful resources. And anytime you produce a video that's any good at all and put it on YouTube, it's available for other teachers to embed in their websites. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to do their own videos, they might at least say, well, here's some video information about the technique. Mm-hmm. It's a service that really it helps everybody.
Yeah. And of course you could embed it right in your blog too. So
absolutely. Yeah. Your blog could be a sentence or two and an embedded video.
Absolutely. A lot of people are doing vlogging, video blogging is sort of an in thing. And I think once you get into video, especially if you're just doing the sort of like, I'm going to give someone a few tips, you're just sort of talking to the camera.
Right.
I think once you can get into that, it could be simpler than writing a blog. It could be quicker, once you've got through how that sort of whole thing is produced. And,
right. And as you said, the equipment is very, very inexpensive.
It's
now.
Got cheaper and easier, I believe. Yeah. Maybe I can give, as I investigate more, I'll have more information on
No,
that,
you can but. You can actually produce quite decent quality videos with like $100 camcorder. Maybe we should touch briefly on one thing we should say: if you're putting videos on YouTube, which is certainly the place to do it, be sure the description of the video has a link to your website on it. That's something that people leave out a lot, and they lose out on all kinds of benefits from it.
And the title of your video, make sure you give it a title that is got good keywords, for instance, Alexander technique, in the title. And that goes back to blogs too. Put in the titles those words that you think people might be searching.
Yes, always. You can never ever overuse the phrase Alexander technique. It should be in the title, should be in the description, maybe repeat it a couple of times, because that's how people are going to find you on YouTube. Well, audio, I think for me, that's the area I've been most intrigued by. And
I think on a handheld, that is really a really nice thing on a phone, for instance, to have those audio clips. Yeah.
Audio clips are perfect for handheld devices. They're also because, in my case, I've got an audio podcast that gets syndicated through iTunes and other channels like that. It can be downloaded onto your iPhone or iPad or anything. Device.
But
and
like,
and you can listen to it on the way to work. It's an easy medium to. It's easy for people to access, especially if they don't have a lot of free time, but they are commuting every day or driving. That's a great place for them to listen to audio interviews. And we talked briefly before this conversation about the fact that if you produce a single audio, the distribution for that's a little tricky, and the finding it's a little tricky. It is a huge advantage in syndicating it through iTunes. But I'll just put it out there that I am always looking for more interviews at Body Learning Cast, podcast site. And they don't have to be by me. I mean, if you want, you could interview someone, and if it's any good, I'll make it into a podcast, and you'll get lots of it'll reach a lot of people, and it'll have a link to your site on it and so on. So definitely consider that.
In anything that you do, if you just create your own MP3 file, that can be linked to on your website. And, I have one posted right on my homepage that has, in fact, the little interview I did to you just about me and my practice and the Alexander technique. And, I know that I've had a few students who've told me they've listened to that. And it seems to be definitely a useful thing. Maybe if I get a video on there eventually, that would be more. Or maybe both, because, if you're driving, you can't listen to the video.
You don't want your prospective pupil to die in a car wreck.
I don't.
But anyway, so those are media, I guess, that are pretty powerful at reaching a lot of people. Anything else you want to say about video and audio before we move on?
Not that I can think of right now, no.
So let's get maybe briefly talk about email marketing and ebooks. You're the most knowledgeable person I know about email marketing.
Really?
But you are. Why don't you say a word or two about that, and how does it work, and what's been your experience with it?
Well, I guess the difference between what's sort of termed email marketing and just sending out an email from your own email provider is that you sort of sign up for, what would you call it? There's a provider that sort of manages all your lists and information, and they make sure that people opt in, that's what they call it, that they have actually said, yes, I want to receive this information. So you can't be spamming, and not that I think any of us would want to, but we might, you know, not realize that we shouldn't be sending things to people who haven't actually given us permission to
right.
do.
Right. Yes, that's an extremely important point. There are some teachers who, if you email them about something, somehow assume that you want to be on their list for announcements of events and so on. And that's puts you in a tricky situation. Do you want to just block that email? Do you want to politely tell them, please don't send me anymore? It should always be an opt-out feature on
and
any
that's the
email
other...
you send through an email
And all
list.
These companies that provide that, I use MailChimp, but mainly because that's free if you've got a smaller list. But there's Constant Contact is a big one that's is a small monthly fee, and there's various other ones, but they always have unsubscribe. And that's, you know, I have some unsubscribes, but that's great. I don't want to be pushing information at someone who doesn't want to get it, you know?
Right.
So the way I've been doing it, and this, you know, that's really is I send a monthly email out, and I will include any information on upcoming workshops and events. Since I've started blogging, I've started using one of my recent blogs as sort of maybe a feature part of the information, which I think is another useful, it's all tying back in, this network side of things, tying back in to lead people back to the blog. I also have tie-ins to my Facebook page and my Twitter, et cetera, and of course my website. So there's all these other ways. So all these things, in fact, on all the things that I do on my website, I have links to my blog, to my Facebook, to my Twitter, etc. You know, so it all is interconnected, and you're giving people various options of how they could connect with you.
Yes, absolutely. And ebooks? Any thoughts on ebooks?
Yeah, and this is not something I can speak to out of personal experience, but this could be a useful thing in sort of in combination with your email marketing, because I think it's often recommended that to sort of, you could say it's to entice people to sign up to get your information, or you could say that you're going to give them something, and you know, that it's in return for signing up, that you could offer something like an ebook on, and an ebook could be 5-10 pages. It's not, it doesn't have to be.
It could be
besides
just
a whole, you know.
Right. It could be quite short. It could be some information about the technique, or maybe some tips, Alexander technique related tips that you.
I was thinking of coming up with some maybe tips for sitting more comfortably at the computer.
Sure. Could be anything like that.
Anything. Maybe related to your specific target market. If you mainly work with musicians, something that would maybe speak more to that audience,
right.
Or, you know.
Right. A number of Alexander Teacher's websites now, you'll see on the home page, you know, you can get a free ebook from me just by clicking here, or you could join my email list by clicking here. And you just make something available for free. There are also, there's at least one teacher in England who is actually selling ebooks.
Yeah, I mean, and this is another
and that's
route.
A whole nother route,
I mean,
you can
this
go.
Would be more on the scale of a physical book, right? You know, in terms
could
of
be
content.
Well,
I mean, not as much, but maybe more than the 5-page freebie, you know.
Oh, it would be a longer file, but often it would still be it would just be it wouldn't be a physical book that he's sending you, but you could print it out and it would have it would look a bit like a book.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's a whole little sub-marketing set of the Alexander world. I don't think it's caught on in the way that the other things that we've talked about have, but it's certainly worth thinking about.
And it's certainly, if you were thinking about writing a book, it's certainly something you can do without all the publishing costs, you know.
Yeah, you could. I mean, if you have, exactly, you can bypass the entire publishing network. And in fact, there are ways that you could make that book available on demand as an actual book. Mm-hmm. You can make all those arrangements yourself. Yeah. So if you feel you've got a wide enough audience, mm-hmm. Then you could certainly self-publish on the web and bypass the entire structure out there. Or you could also link up with Amazon. Amazon makes it pretty easy these days, mm-hmm. for self-published books to be sold through Amazon. So there are all kinds of channels there. Imogen, is there anything else that we should mention about any of these things before we come to an end?
Well, it just sort of occurred to me, and this sort of applies to a few of the things we've talked about, is, and we sort of did mention it, but sharing this information on social media. So if you see a blog or a video by another teacher, that you then go and share it. We don't just watch it and like it and not say anything. You know?
Right.
And a lot of, and I would recommend this if you do have a blog, that you have the social media sharing ability. At the bottom of a blog, you can click to like on Facebook or to, you know, tweet it or whatever, and do that. Click at least one of them if you've liked the blog. You know, that it's helping everyone, and you know.
And if you're on, particularly on Facebook, it's very easy to share the link. You just click share, and there it is.
Yes,
and that's that, and things like it is how some material goes viral on the
Absolutely.
Web, which is what we want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it can be that kind of cross-platform thing, like a video on YouTube could go viral mainly because it's been promoted in the blog of someone who's well-known, and then it gets on Facebook. And, you know, the interconnectedness of all these channels really makes it possible to reach a huge audience if you have something that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think it sort of goes back, I think, to how we ended our social media conversation, that it's multifaceted. It's not just one, you know, but it's also a very indirect approach.
And hence a more powerful one.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as F. Matthias Alexander would have done. And by the way, I am sure Alexander, if he were alive today, would be doing all of these things and more. He was very out there using the media of his time, letters to the editor and books and pamphlets and talks and all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he'd be tweeting, he'd be on Facebook, he'd be on YouTube. He'd be all over the place if he were alive today.
Mm-hmm. That just reminded me, just this past week or so, that video of Niklas Tinbergen came to surface.
Mm-hmm.
And that created a little buzz as it
Absolutely.
Got shared around, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the sort of thing we want.
That was Niklas Tinbergen, who got the 1973 Nobel Prize for medicine and something else.
Biology, I think.
Some other topic. Anyway, a good part of his acceptance speech was a ringing endorsement of the Alexander technique.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had the transcript or articles about it, but now we have the actual video of him giving the talk. Anyway, maybe this is a good place to end our conversation.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Yes.
So
good.
My guest today has been Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware, and also a website designer. Imogen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome.